Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, O Lord. What are we here, Father? What are we here today? Or why are we here even on this earth? We are here, Father, because you put us here. And for what purpose, Lord? But to glorify thy name. All that you have done, O Father, the thing that you have created, when you create man and you have us on this earth, it was for thy glory and nothing else, Lord. Not for ourselves, not one bit, O Father. It is just for thy glory. Therefore, Lord, thy will be done. And as we gather today, Lord, it is thy will too, Father, that we can gather together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to worship you, O Father, and to praise you and to glorify thee. And if not, if we don't have this praise, O Lord, from our mouth and from the bottoms of our heart, from our spirit being, O Father, we are not just flesh and blood, O Lord. What we have the soul, the spirit of the living Christ. And that's the reason, Father, we have to praise you, to glorify thy name. And we are here to hear thy word, Father, that we may grow in thy grace. And as we grow in thy grace, O Lord, and walk in thy word, not for ourselves, again, Lord, not for ourselves, but in growing, Father, we praise you and glorify thee. And that's what we do today, Father. We bless thee, O Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, we bless thee now. Commit all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But it's wonderful, you know, just to talk to the Lord, looking at his word, and what he wants us to know in life, what his word teaches us. How many of you are walking with the Lord daily? You are. I pray you are. And this morning, did you lift up your hand and praise the Lord? Lift up your hand, praise the Lord. Open the window. Just lift up your hand, praise the Lord. You know, and truly, greet the day, greet the heavenly, our Heavenly Father in the morning. Amen. All right. In touching what we have last week finished off, then we're going to continue. I just want to take this short period of time. And there will be another section to go after next week. So we have touched on the doctrines of Christ last Sunday. And just to recap a little quickly, the purpose of Christ, of God sending his only begotten Son to this earth, the purpose was God providing an atonement for our sin. That's basically what it is. And as we are talking about this all-sufficiency of the sacred word of God. Therefore, whatever the Bible says, it's what it takes. We cannot add to it. We cannot subtract from it. And we just want to place the scripture the way it should be. Right. And go to the book of Isaiah 53 and verse 5 again. And to quickly touch on this. Now, you know, I have been in this ministry now for 51 years now. 51 years. And 40 years I traveled. And I'm trying to emphasize upon the importance of this absolute word of God. And I will always repeat, as the Bible tells us, you know, bring into remembrance. So, so that you do not get sidetracked away from the truth, because you know, over the years, since I started in 71, and then believers come and join us, and then some of them left, and some went back and forth and all this. Every one of us are learning. We are not, you know, so super as to know everything. We learn through steps. We learn through failure. We learn through our misstep or deviation, because we were deceived for a little moment by someone. But when the Lord opened our eyes to see the truth, we come back. So when we see what the Bible says, we always want to remember this and put it into our heart, and then solidify it in our faith, that next time when we see someone come along and twist a little bit, just a little bit, and oh, it can actually bring a person out of the word. So Isaiah 53 verse 5, and this is what I want to always you to remember. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So now again, I didn't quite finish last year on this part, but just to enlighten a little bit. Now it is often, as I said this, that many people said that because when Christ came and he died for us, and he got 40 stripes, and this stripe that was put on him, we are healed physically. That's not what the Bible teaches. But that is what people have taught. People say healing is in the atonement. Physical healing is in the atonement. Well, that is not right to say that physical healing is in the atonement. The atonement is basically only for sin. But Brother Gunn is saying, so with his stripes we are healed. I know the preacher has been taking this. I mean, even Brother Bram used this like that, because it's a common thing that is going on traditionally. But we want to stick to the scripture, how the Bible presents to us, and we want to read within the context. Okay, let's go down further in the next verse. We are all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Right? The iniquity of us. What is iniquity? Iniquity is sin. You see? So, whole passage right here is talking about sin. It's not about physical healing. So we want to get it right, and so that we would not be tossed to and fro. Understand that. Alright? But we know yet there are promises in the Bible, and which we cannot, or we can claim, but we must understand that don't take a certain verse out of context. Now what God told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, said, I will not put those diseases that I have put on the Egyptian. You know. And so people have taken that to say, well, you know, that's a promise I take from God. What God has put on the Egyptian, he will not put on me. But read within the context. And yet today we say Christian, having affliction, having diseases. Am I not right? Isn't it? Huh? Look at what Timothy went through. Look at even what Paul went through. Look at what Brother Bram went through with his, you know, the hive, because he went to a certain place. He cannot take the place. He got this pollution. He can do a hive. Our body is a dying body. Since the day of sin that came in, the body begins to die. You see? And so, we will all have afflictions here and there. But we have, as what the Bible said in the epistle of John, I pray to God that you will prosper in spiritual health as well as physical health. That your soul prospers as well as you prosper in your health. Yes, we want to be healthy. But most of all, we want our soul to prosper. And when our soul prospers, then physically we can live in peace, in harmony with God's word. We will have the problem here, we have a sorrow here, we have this here, affliction here. It will be there. Am I alright? Can anyone say, no, cannot be because I'm a Christian. And that's been some teaching out there. You are sick, that's why you have committed sin, that's why you are sick. You're not living in the will of God, that's why you are sick. That's why you have this affliction. You see. And even like some have prophesied about me that, you know, I will have a terrible diseases. I will have a terrible disease. And this is not just one time. Here is one in Singapore. There are those in Africa. When they came to the hotel room and prophesied. You know. And all those here until now, I don't have anything. You see. You know, people wanted to. Well, we can talk about. At this moment, I can talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It is like somebody, people are just so proud. They come and prophesy as if they are some kind of prophets, some kind of great man of God, that their faith is all, you know, perfect. And that when they look at you, they say that you are not in the will of God. So they have to bring in some damnation upon you. In the name of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. How terrible that can be. I even have someone I associate with so long ago. Just because I do not see eye to eye with him. He want me to see eye to eye with his doctrine. And he said to me, Brother Dan, because you don't see eye to eye with me, you will have problem in your church. You will have, you know, you will find problem in your ministry. All these years, I wrote back to him after, you know, few years down the road. I said, Brother, I don't have any problem. In fact, I told him, I said, the problem will be in your hand. You see, when you try to be somebody that you are not, you couldn't be somebody because God, that is not such a thing. Nobody is a super apostle, super prophet. As far as the ministry is concerned in the body of Christ. Is that not right? And so, when you get into that situation of having adding something to the Word of God, you have to hype up. You know what I mean? You have to hype up that, yes, my God is a multi-millionaire. Therefore, I must be blessed by God, must be rich. And so you've got to do something about it. And like the Pentecostal charismatic evangelists out there, what they preach? They preach prosperity. Give! And ask the congregation to give unto them. Right? And they call a scripture out of contact. Give and it shall be given unto you. Any more fall. Press down. To overflowing. And things like that. And then some will have to dress. Because they are preacher of God. They are minister of God. So they must dress well. So everywhere they go. They dress in coat and tie or whatever maybe. I don't know. Dressed like the priest. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. In this earth, that while we are living here, on this earth, there is no physical perfection. Are you getting me? There is no physical perfection. Do you think that Jesus Christ is handsome. What did the Bible say about him? What does the Bible say about him? There's no form of comeliness that we desire him. There's just plain. You will not take a second look. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is it very rarely, have you ever seen? Because it's very rarely that I have seen a man that is really handsome. And the only one time that I seen him was in a mall. And he's a Bengali. Wear a turban, walked past me, in front of me, and I couldn't believe my eye. He was so attractive. His face was so symmetrical, so nice to look at. You know, I took what we call a double take. I was shocked. Then he walked past me. I said, wow. You know, to have physical perfection is a rare thing. That's why maybe your face are attractive. But what about the rest of the body? We are born into this world with flaws in the body. So as a Christian, doesn't mean that, oh, yes, God is a perfect God. He promised me health. He promised me healing. Yes. As an apostle, I pray that you prosper in your physical health, even as your soul prospers. Why did he say that? I pray that you will have your physical health, while you prosper in your physical being. After all, because we are all dying. And as we are all dying, we have diseases, we have affliction. So the only thing that will conclude, as you can see, that Christ came to die for the ungodly. That's simple. That's just factual. Nothing else. Christ came to save, to die for the ungodly. The Bible did not say he came to die to give healing for all. There's no such thing. This is one fact that we need to understand. Alright. So, the same thing when it comes to this doctrine, now we talk about how how the Spirit operates. There is a problem with many people. They think, especially, you know, I heard so much of it, I got sick of it, that it seems that the teaching that's out there in the Pentecostal and Charismatic, and even in the end-time message, I can see some on the YouTube. You know, they call up Brother Branham and then try to make it sound like, or to imply, that you can summon the Holy Spirit. You can manipulate the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you? Huh? The Holy Spirit is a gift to you. Is that right? What does the Holy Spirit do? It's not, when we talk about a gift, we don't think about it as a toy. Get it? You can manipulate toys. But a gift is a gift. Not all gifts can be manipulated. Do you understand? Yeah. I give my love to you. Can you manipulate that love? God gives his love to you. You want to manipulate the love of God? How are you going to manipulate it? God gives the Spirit of God to us. For what purpose? That he drive us, guide us, and lead us into our truth and teach us. That's what God is giving us the gift for. Yes? Now let's look at this in Titus chapter 3. Now we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What the Bible talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. I want to go through a little bit here because there are wrong teaching as well. I hope and I pray that you understand some of these deeper things. Alright. Verse 3 to verse 7. This is what Paul wrote to Titus, "For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heir according to the hope of eternal life." Right. When the Holy Spirit is given to us, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this phrase here again, I just want to emphasize, this phrase again here, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, it has been so misunderstood in the way that it is written by some preachers. Actually, it's so very simple to understand it. But because this is King James way of putting word for word, and it's kind of difficult to really, you know, bring the sense if we are not careful. Now, by many, the phrase in verse 5, by the washing of regeneration. Now, to many people, they believe that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? It is not making you to speak in tongues. Huh? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is getting you born again. The Holy Spirit comes, wash you, cleanse you, put you into the body of Christ. Got it? Alright. And it is a one-time act. One-time act. How many of you have been born? How many of you have been born again and born again and born again? Or reborn and rebirth, you know? You're born again and then you went out there and you say, "Oh, I come back again, I want to get born again." And you go out there and do something back, you come back, "I want to be born again." How many times can you be born again? Since the word again. Not born again, 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 again. I was born again one time. I was born again, again. I was born again, again, again. No, there's no such thing as that. Do you understand? You're all born once physically. The born again is a spiritual birth. So this washing of regeneration, to some they think that, oh, it is a process of washing, regenerating. That means that, you know, Holy Spirit is doing this word until it takes, I don't know how long, and then before you're born again. Washing of regeneration. You know what is regeneration? Now, the only two words, I mean, this word regeneration only, you will see only twice in the New Testament. The other time is in the regeneration, as Jesus had talked about, in the regeneration. The regeneration means the period of the 1,000 year millennium. The rule of Christ comes in. So what is regeneration? Alright. You know regenerate? You know what I mean? You know, take for example this lizard. The house gecko. You beat it, he runs away, you leave his tail behind you and still wiggling trying to deceive you. And then, after several weeks, that lizard regenerate a new tail. He is able to regenerate a new tail. That is what we call regeneration. But the word regeneration has more than just the meaning of regenerating, a process of growing a new tail. Ask you a question. Are you a regenerate man and a regenerate woman? Come on, in the Lord, as a believer, as a Christian, are you a regenerate person? Or are you still regenerating? If you are still regenerating, you are having a whole lot of problems in your life. Right? You understand what I'm saying? But this is what some people try to understand the word regeneration. Now, the word regeneration in the Greek word is polygenesia. And you know the word genesia sounds already to you, you know, is Genesis, right? Correct? So it means a new Genesis. What is Genesis? Huh? What is Genesis? Something that is brought forth. Genesis. Creation of the heaven. Creation of the earth. In the beginning God did this. Right? Genesis. The book of beginning. In the beginning. Genesis. Something new. Correct. So what is done? It is it. It's there. So you know, how does the Holy Spirit get a man to be born again? First of all, you've got to hear the word. When you hear the word, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is already working in generating you. No. That's not what the Bible is trying to tell you. You hear the word. Whether you believe the word or not, you hear the gospel, whether you believe or not, it's up to you. Right. But as we know, if we are ordained, we are chosen of God before the foundation of word of the world, then of course we're going to respond. So when we heard the word, we received the word in our heart, we repent. And we truly repent, the Holy Spirit comes in and give you a new birth. It's instant. It's it. Okay, lesson is, a child is born into the world. When a child is born into the world, it came out of the mother's womb. And the moment he cried, that lungs is opened up, that's when the spirit went in. Got it? We have rock. Alright? The spirit went in. All the life went in. And he cried. That is a birth. Now, when the child is born into the world and he doesn't cry, we call that stillbirth. That means it's not alive. It's dead. It's stillbirth. So the moment the child cries, it's alive. You have a child. The moment the Holy Spirit went in, came into our life, quickened our spirit, we know we are alive. We are born again. So some people ask me, you know, how do I know that I'm born again? How do I know I'm a child of God? Then I ask them, how do you know you are physically alive? You know, maybe like my grandson Adam said, pinch yourself, Grandpa. See whether you are dreaming or not, whether you're alive. I mean, you know, is that so? You can slap your face, you can cut yourself, you know the pain is there. You know you're alive, yes, right. You know, but the thing is that if you don't breathe, you're not conscious, you die, you finish. So you see, I know that I'm alive because I'm a living being. I'm a living being. I have the five senses, I can touch these things in the world around me. So, how do I know that I'm spiritually alive? Because I'm conscious of the other dimension. I'm conscious of the heavenly places. I mean, the heavenly place of God. Are you living in this world? As you said, we are a citizen of two worlds, right? This physical one and the other one. So, what is more important to you? That's why I said, We get up in the morning, praise the Lord. Your word of environment, your word of your, you know, the presence of the Lord around you. And knowing that the angels are around you. No, wake up. And then, oh my, another terrible day. Oh my, my, my. How many people get up in the morning like that? Either get a morning like that, it's all that noise, oh my, 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 oh dear. Huh? So when that is the problem, of course, then you are not aware of the environment. You are not aware of that heavenly place. You are not aware of that heavenly realms of God, actually. Alright, now let's go to Mark 19:28, just to let you show to you what I'm trying to say about the word. Alright, Matthew 19. What Jesus said, so that you understand the difference of words. Matthew 19:28. Oh, sorry, did I say Mark? See, I'm getting old, that's a good sign. Alright, Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which follow me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So in the regeneration. So here the word regeneration, of course, means the whole 1,000 years of Christ's reign, and which he will bring. Regenerating the world or the earth and the people back to the condition that was like Eden in the beginning. Do you understand? So it takes a process of time before the people can come to that state. Huh? But our being born again, the washing of regeneration, right? It's a one-time act. The Holy Spirit came down, washing. Well, the word washing means to cleanse you. Alright? He came in, he cleansed you. And that cleansing is a regeneration already. How long does it take? Days? Weeks? Months? Or when the Holy Spirit came in and did the whole job all in one instant? You see? But there are people that go on and say, no, you're not born again until, you know, you go through this process, you are like this, until, oh, you speak in tongues, then you have the Holy Ghost. You know, oh, I want to see the fruit you have. Or else you don't have the Holy Ghost. You're not born again. You're not regenerated. You understand? All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Here we can see what Paul said. Alright, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible said that. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. So, what is a new creature? If you are a new creature, you must be a new creation. Like I say, like somebody challenged me about my teaching, asking a question. New creation? Well, he believed that Jesus was born of the egg of Mary. The egg of Mary had to be involved in order Jesus Christ can be considered a man. Kind of odd. Then you have another one said, where did God get the material? If he doesn't get it from the egg of Mary, where did God get the material to form the body of Jesus Christ? What? Where did God get the material to form this whole heaven and earth? Where does the material come from? Right? Huh? He created the heavens, he created the earth. Why did God get the material to form the water? I mean, sometimes people want to be technical. They want to say that Jesus Christ being a God-man, He is fully God and fully man. So if He is a man, He must have something from mankind. From Mary. The egg from Mary. You know? You know, when that says no more, we talk about a new creation. I'm a new creation. Not this body. You know what I'm saying, no? Not this body. I'm a new creation. From inside. I'm a new person. Not this corrupt body. Not this outer shell. No. No. A new creation. Something totally new. So for God to bring forth the body, a house that God made, not with hands, as the Bible said, right? So if it is not with hands, where does it come from? Right? Where does it come from? And the only question I ask, and the question you have people is, how did Adam come about? How did Adam come? How did God create him? Did he create a sperm? Then did he create an egg? And then fuse it together and form Adam? You know, people go through all that thing. All we know is it's a Genesis. It's a something new that God bring forth. When God created dogs, are they not Genesis? Something that we never seen before? If today God created a strange animal, never seen before, it's a new creation. It's called a new creation. Yep. And the brother, if it's a new creation subject to the fall? Kind of strange question. Do you know, it's supposed to be one who, yeah, there are many out there anyway. They think that they are Bible teachers. But the problem is that to be able to teach, you don't want to pick words. Technical. Being technical. Yeah, the word technical, I like the word technical. When you're being technical, you have a problem. Because you're looking at word, you are like a surgeon trying to cut the word, splice the word, trying to understand, look into the under the microscope, you have a problem. Because that's not how the Holy Spirit teach. These are all words. Remember I said, if you look in the Bible, a lot of and, right? Va. In the Hebrew word, it's va. Hook, like curtains. The word of God just hook upon each other. And that doesn't mean there is a conjunction. But people think it is. And they make a mess of the whole thing. So, new creation subject to the fall? Of course. Was not Adam subject to the fall? He was a new creation. Now you say, subject to the fall, new creation, Jesus Christ subject to the fall. It cannot be, you must have the egg of Mary because that's a corrupt egg, but God put it. So they could be subject to the fall, really. Oh my. You see how men start to think they are smart. Discover something. Oh, I got a revelation. Ephesians chapter 5, 25-27. We try to understand the word, okay? Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that should be holy and without blemish. Now, here again we see the washing of water by the word. So they may present himself a glorious church. Yeah, we are all born again. A church, the word church means ecclesia, called out as body of Christ. Now we all came from different countries, different, we are all different. We are Chinese, Indian, whatever race, Filipino, white and black and brown, whatever color. Yeah, we're all born again. It's born of Christ. But man, our body, the old man is still there. So, Christ has to cleanse us up with the washing of the water of the Word. You get the point. The Holy Spirit comes in, He takes this word. That's why people say, I'm born again. And he don't hardly go to church. He hardly learn anything about the Bible. Just last week, a Christian, I thought that he was a believer all the time about the message and things that, I thought he was actually reading my books and understanding things. I found that he hardly. And he asking certain questions that my, then I found out he was from an Orthodox church. And he didn't even know what the Bible said. He didn't even understand. He believed in the Trinity. He believed that Mary was the mother of God. Mother of God. He said, mother of God? I said, wow. So when you talk about the Orthodox Church, it's no different from the Catholic now. Yep, some of the Orthodox Church are still calling Mary, yeah, mother of God. I said, you don't find that in the Bible. Huh? Mother of Jesus is not the mother of God, but it's not Jesus God. You see how they twisted that word? It's not Jesus God. And the simplicity I ask him, is the Son greater than the Father? Can the Father and the Son be equal? And how did they use some of the Bible say, you know, to be equal with God, that Jessica was, you know, be equal with God. In what say he was equal with God? Was it not because God gave him the power to see and, you know, to give him the authority? So in that sense that as long as I have the ring, you know what I mean? The Father's ring, the seal, authority. I'm equal to the Father. What I sign is exactly what my Father would sign. Huh? But as in the end, after all power has been put down, Jesus handed all the authority back to the Father. And he subjected himself to the Father. You see, simplicity like this, people don't understand. What did Jesus pray to the Father? If he is God, God don't pray to God. God don't worship God. If a God worship another God, that means that God who is worshiping the other God must be very inferior. He can't be God. Let me ask you a question. Now, how many of you, come on, be serious, okay? You all know, right? I'm asking you all a question out there too, huh? How many of you worship yourself? You laugh. Yeah, you know, many people worship themselves. Ego. It's all about me. I'm always on my mind. I am always on my mind. I am. So I worship myself. Uh-huh. So do you think God worship himself? No. He's God. He's not carnal. He's perfect to bring things that he wanted to bring forth. And he wants people to come to the place where every one of us make a choice in relationship to him. Ah, the Bible. I can tell you the more I know about the Bible. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The more that this treasure becomes so precious to me. Yes. So you understand now. The church is not perfect. As a Christ, through the Holy Spirit, take the word. That's all you need to hear. That's why he said, but I was just studying to show yourself proof unto God, and God gave a fivefold ministry, huh? To perfect the saints of God, perfect the church, not just beside the, you know, for, or beside the ministry. He wanted to bring us, the word is bringing us to perfection. We all still have our bad behavior, so to speak. Yeah, whether we are adults or we are kids, we are. Oh, in the as a Christian, what we say, older by many years being in the Bible, being a Christian, and compared to those who are young, we all still have this little thing that God wants to wash it away. Yeah. Huh? Or today there was an article in the newspaper. It was complete, the whole page of it, I think. It's all about pornography, about people coming out to tell how pornography, they watch pornography that affect their life. There's a woman, but not local, I mean it's an American woman, I think. And she had been watching pornography and how it affect her life badly. See, God is cleaning us up. God is dealing with us. Alright. Now let's go to the next topic here. And then let's talk about soteriology. Soteriology is the doctrine of salvation. Alright. Now as much as we Christian you know, Paul said we desire the best gift, right? How many of you actually desire the best gift? How many of you desire gift? Have you ever said, Lord, I don't know, you know, when you said desire best gift, you need to find your place in the church. Some people say, no, I don't want to desire for any gift because it's a big responsibility. Of course it's a big responsibility, but if you feel that what the Lord wants to, you know, to have, to give you that place, you desire it. And let Him guide you. Yes. The fivefold ministry is a calling. Okay? You cannot say, Lord, I want to be a prophet. I desire the gift of a prophet. No, you can't. But as the other nine spiritual gifts, yes, you can desire those gifts. Prophecy, tongues, healing, faith, things like that. Yes. But when you do that, as Paul said, remember what we said last week, that you be guided by truly by love. Everything that you desire you do is by love. Because that is what Christ came. Because of the love of God, He came to die for us. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 5. Now, then we're talking about salvation now. Okay, to understand fully salvation. I declare unto you, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, for by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that He was seen of Cephas than of the 12. So, very clear here. The Bible is clear in this fact. There's so much so that some denominations have taken this and added into their creed. Alright, or their confession. So is it, you know, I believe in the Bible, the absolute word of God, I believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Holy Ghost, I believe that, and then they quote this verse as well. Huh? Now, the fact here is clear. Verse 3, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And He was buried, rose again the third day, according to the scripture. No, these are all in the Old Testament prophesied of how that you will, you know, as well be in the grave and so on and so forth. And what we see in the book of Isaiah as well. Now, the question here comes is, now, whether this is basic salvation. I have, well, we have denomination, Pentecostal said, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. But I don't know how many of these Pentecostal churches now are aware and have moved away from that. You know? Because when I was in the denomination in the 60s, yes, with the exams are going, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. And I go around talking to Christian and, you know, fellowship with other Christian, denomination Christian, and this subject always comes, do you speak in tongues? And you know, they say no. So, you know, if the Bible says if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. So we are always trying to push that doctrine. Yes. But here it's very plain to say that salvation is all that Jesus Christ did for us according to the scripture. But today we even have anti-message people. Are these people out there Christian if they don't believe in the message of Brother Branham? Now, if somebody asks you that, how would you answer the question? Are they really Christian? If they are Christian, how come they cannot see the message? Some of them talk to me like that. If they are really Christian, they should see the message. Yes, no? But again, is it not true? Oh my. And I wonder some of these people that ask me that, I wonder how far they have been in the message until many of them left the message even. Isn't it? And there are those that may comment on the YouTube. When somebody posts a picture or a video of Brother Branham, and they will quote what Brother Branham said, this and that, and this and that. And of course, the especially you see a lot of Branhamite there, because these are all put up by Branhamite group of believers. And you say, praise the Lord for the message, praise the Lord for Brother Branham. You know, they'll make all the comments. Yeah. And then some, well, I read one recently, I said, wow. This guy put on there, the denomination Christian will not make the rapture. Very strongly put the word, you know. Denomination Christian will not make the rapture. Let me say something here. We know the message was given for a reason. To get us out of darkness of the traditional churches. The system of Babylon. Back to the word, huh? So that we might be prepared as a bride. Now, so what happened to those who are out there who do not see this message? Well, one thing maybe they are ignorant. One thing maybe they are just walking around not knowing what is what because they were taught all those junks. And many Christians out there are not really Christian for that matter. But you know, they are believers out there, there are Christian people out there, never heard the message, don't know who Barbaham was. They don't believe in this organization stuff, they don't believe in all this traditional thing. And they are walking in the light of God's word, and they believe that there's only one God. They have some understanding. Right? So who are we to judge it, to say, he's not going to make the rapture? Who are we to judge like this? We're going to teach what the Bible says about the tares. Yep, the tares are gathered for the binding. What is tares? A tares is that the spirits that's in those people that hold on to their system. But there are many Christians who don't. How is God judge them? Leave it to the Lord. But would you dare go and tell a Christian out there? Huh? And you ask him, say, you are from Presbyterian church. And he will say, yep, I attend Presbyterian, but I'm not Presbyterian. You believe Brother Abraham? I don't know who he is. He has a message, you know? Yeah, I don't know. You better get a message or else you don't make them rapture. Now, these are the things that is a way how that some of these extreme anti-message believer comes up with the kind of so-called revelation. Brother, sister, let me say this. We believe of this anti-message of Brother Brand is just not a big deal if you do not know what the message is in the first place. I believe in the message of Brother Brand. Is that a big deal? But you don't even know what the message is all about. That's sort of what Jesus said, take it how you hear and what you hear. If we really believe the message, come back to this word. Get ourselves ready by this word. Right? You may be 1% out there, 2% out there in different parts of the world. That's good enough. Come to the word of the Lord. Find a place to fellowship. If you it's about, but again, there's no believers here with me. You know, well, anywhere, go to the church out there somewhere, and the best one that you can find, just go there, honor the Lord, and to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day with them. But you don't have to eat all those food. These are Christian people out there. I mean, they are not taught the truth. They have not. Have you any idea that there was a message that called us out? There are many of them caught in this tradition. So what are you going to do about it? Instead of sharing with them, you're condemning them. Say, you don't make the rapture, this and that. Well, we are no special people. The thing about it, you know, why we act like this, and I mean, these people who are putting all this thing out there on the internet, if you are acting like this and you are telling people like this, you may yourself some super duper Christian. I think that's a. I'm ashamed about this whole thing. If we are believers, let us be mindful of the word. Let us be mindful of love and grace and mercy to people. Is that alright? Yes. So remember that. I still remember the time. You know, these are just many of those things. Such a big deal what Brother Abraham said. So much so that they just get into, they caught themselves in that trap. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel. What is, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So what is the gospel? That Jesus Christ came to die for the ungodly. Jesus Christ came to die to save the sinners, right? That's exactly what it is. That is just the gospel. Why do people want to add it? If you don't believe Brother Branham, you are not a Christian. You don't have salvation. Wow, you mean the Brother Branham is a savior? Without believing in him, I'm not a Christian. You know, as I say this, in the message we have the extreme. In the denomination out there, we also have the extreme. And there are those people that are there, just common believers. Some ignorant, yes. God doesn't want them to be ignorant, but they choose to be just ignore it, so they're ignorant of what the truth is. That's why the Bible says, search the scripture. Search the scripture. Right? If I see those things be true, be like the wise Berean. Some people just want to be a Christian. Just go to church and say, I'm a Christian. You know, I believe this is true. You know, there are some food stores that are run by Chinese, but it is halal means that the Muslim people can go and buy. But the owner is a Chinese. So, if he is a Chinese, there are two ways to have a shop halal. One is that you have to apply, and which have a lot of problems. Okay? You make sure you go through this, if you are not a Muslim. But for him to get it easily done is to convert himself to a Muslim. You understand? Huh? So you don't have to go through all those processes. You know? It's just like, okay, once you're vaccinated, you don't have to go and do all the ART or PCR, whatever, right? Correct. Get injection and you're okay. Go to the mall, go anywhere. But booster is coming. No booster, back to zero. So you got a booster, everything is okay with you. If you go, you know what I mean? Or else you got to still do that and things like that. So you see the thing? So, you know, when people are out there, the system out there, you have this extreme. And those are those who are ignorant. So if they're ignorant, they don't bother. They don't want to look into the scripture. They don't want to search into the scripture so that they could line up with, well, the word of God, as you would line up with the rule and regulation. And you might, and as the Bible said, you are going on to perfection. If you don't do that, don't search it, how do you expect? How can you be a child of God? You can quote John 3:16. You, when you die, you can tell your children to put in the obituary and the paper. Huh? And you can quote a verse that your favorite verse, perhaps you have been known, or if you do not know, you may ask your son, which is the one who is a Christian, you ask your son, which is the better verse to put in the obituary page. You see, it doesn't mean anything. Some people think that they can get to heaven like a thief on the cross. Like a dying thief, right? Lord, remember me when you come to that kingdom. They think by just saying that, you know, there's a special grace for that dying thief. Yeah, but if you're down on the cross, maybe God give you a special grace like him. But you are not. Many are not. They enter into the church, they come out of the church, and for the rest of the day, the week and the month, go back now after a few months again. That's about it. Are they Christian? A Christian is one who walks with the word. I mean, a true Christian, I'm saying. Yes. I look at my mom. All the years that I'm, of course I grew up with her, sister called me. I see her pray every night. You know, before she sleeps. She will say her grace when she eat. In the early days, yes, mixed with all her sisters who are Catholic. Oh, she'd go to Catholic church and doing this, bring back the candles, bring back, you know, this and that. And we kids went along, we would buy the rosary because it grows in the night, in the dark. They were fascinated by that thing. And I'm trying to get her to see the truth. It's very hard for her to see the truth. Because she is a Catholic, I mean, she's a Presbyterian, a mixture of Methodist, and another one, Catholic, Catholicism. So she's here, she's there. Until something happened. อันที่ห้างก็ได้วันที่ห้างก็ได้Now, she went there, turned awake, and by the grace of the Lord, met her cousin. And then during the talk, you know, with him, she mentioned me, and they were talking about, because I know the cousin, because I worked with him before when I was in the secondary school, Youth for Christ. And my mom came by and talked to me about that. How did she had a talk? Man, I told my mom. I said, your cousin knows very well the Bible, but he's not practicing what he preaches. He said, really? I said, what is it? So I give her a tract. I said, water baptism. That is what the Bible teaches. He doesn't want to do it. Because he belonged to the Presbyterian. My mom got interested. You see how God works? Huh? Weakness to a person, a weakness to my mom. Whenever I have opportunity, didn't come to the place where she wakes up. But that very incident of her uncle that passed away. Change everything. Then she started reading. And she said, okay, I won't get baptized. She was not willing to give up her earring. She wanted to put on her earring and wanted to keep her hair short. She got upset with me. I said, don't get upset with me. I'm just a messenger. I said, look at the Bible. Mom, look at the Bible. What the Bible said. Don't believe me. This is what God said, not me. And after a week or two, I think about 2 or 3 weeks, I can't remember now. She just took it out and said, nah, here. You know, over in India, the same thing. When I preach after the service, on the sister bring, give me the gold ring, you know, I mean the earring, you know, give it to me. I say, what do you want me to do? He said, I don't know, but can you sell it or something? Yeah, I got it sold anyway. Give it to some Indian pastor and get them sell it off. You see, that's the thing. God is working in our life. If we really love the Lord, He wants that salvation. But salvation is basically what Christ died for us. But let us move from there. And don't just condemn people out there who do not see, you know, this message that brings us back to the Word of God. God has a way of dealing with them. Alright. Galatians 5, 2. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2 to 12. Behold, I pass unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. But I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is adapted to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Is it the other place you read earlier in chapter 1? Anybody bring in any other gospel? I mean, by saying that, you know, you need to have believed Brother Brand in order to be a Christian, you have another gospel. And you say down here, Paul said in chapter 5, if you said that you need to be circumcised, then you have another gospel. Right? Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for this hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avail anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion come not of him that call you. Of course, the Holy Spirit that call you, of Christ that call you, of God that call you, did not give you this thing. Huh? You understand that? A little leaven, leavened the whole lot. Yeah, when you mix it a little, just what we have in Branhamism, in this entire message. You have this brother that put here and there, Brother Branham's word with this and that. Oh my. And I've seen some of these men who challenged me when I was overseas. And they have been actually adding to the Word of God. Huh? Brother Branham didn't teach this, but again, so it's not important. So you are saying that the word of God is not important then, that which I taught and because Baba didn't teach it? Yes. All mystery are revealed. Whatever you are teaching, but again, it's not true because Baba never taught it. God have mercy on that. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you be more otherwise, that you be not otherwise minded, but he that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I think there's a lot of paramount out there. They are troubling me. Yep, even the local one here. And I, brother, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Paul, of course, was a Jew, was circumcised. So if I'm preaching circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Makes no sense. Why are the Jews persecuting me if I'm preaching circumcision? And I would that they even cut off which trouble you. Yeah, that's good. Sometimes we need to ask, communicate people. People who are so troublesome. Instead of being a blessing to the church, to the body of Christ, they are being a parasite, a nuisance. I don't speak of it lightly, I speak of it as the truth. And that's Paul's serious rebuke. Alright. Let us go on. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21-23. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, of heaven. For he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many were said to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast up devil? And in thy name have done many wonderful work? Then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from you, you workers of iniquity. How true that is. I would just want to close the door and think we continue it next week, but I want to say this, that as Christian, that as believer, let us not forget the very basic thing about salvation. Let us not be like, you know, some believers. More revelation. And there are those who, as I said earlier, being technical. And there are those who are only so taken up by what Brother Branham said that they refuse to look into the Bible. It's very important for us believers to have respect for the Word of God. And in the house of God, remember, we need to know how to behave in the house of God. Right? When we come for fellowship, even right now, we are all scattered out there. Still, we must present ourselves properly in the house of God. Is that all right? Sure. We have to, because we need to have respect for God. If we don't have respect for God, I can tell you one thing, we don't have respect for our own family. And the other way is true, if we don't respect our parents, our brother, our sister, one another, then we also don't respect God. It is vice versa. How we interact with people shows how we interact with God too. Because our life, we are in a mess here, something is wrong already. We need to be corrected by the Word of God. We need to look at the Word of God and let the Spirit of God guide us. And that's what the Bible talks about, which the washing of the water of the Word. And we move from glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen? And the Lord bless every one of us. Gracious Father, now we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful Word of truth. There's much to be learned, Father. Because, Lord, many Christians' lives, many believers' lives out there are so messed up, Lord. There are many that are going from church to church. They are getting confused. One church says this, another church says that. Although we know that there is a ministry that will set the Word of God in its foundation, so that, Lord, your people will know what is truth and to be able to eat, O Lord, what needs to be eaten and what is bones and seeds and pit should be spewed out. And we ask the Lord, give everyone wisdom now. Give everyone a desire in the heart to love your word and to enjoy, Father, the learning a little here and there. And that's what Father, you are teaching us according to that word. A little here, a little there. And that's how we grow in thy grace. It's not possible, Father, for us to have all that in one sitting, or not possible to have all of it in one plate. But Lord, we digest a little as often as we can, growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So bless, Father, bless the Holy Word, bless the rest of the day in Jesus' name.